You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome in to another edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as your mayor of PHNX. This is my stake, occasionally known as Jesse Jr. And the real Jesse Friedman, a.k.a. my vice mayor, will be joining us here from the clubhouse shortly. It sounds like things are moving slowly, and that's understandable because the Diamondbacks are celebrating a huge walk-off extra innings win right now. And I hope they're spraying beer all over each other and getting all this done. This is the Diamondbacks' first extra innings win this year. They get that monkey off their back, and now they are 1-3 when it comes to those extra inning games. Of course, thank you all for being here in the in PHNX Diamondbacks After Dark. That's what this is. What a thriller this game was. Absolute thriller. Diamondbacks win this one by a count of 12-11. Five lead changes, 23 runs scored total. What a win for this team, and an absolute needed win. I tweeted out that little meme of the dog and the, you know, what the Diamondbacks are innings 1-6 and then what they are 7-9. They finally did the thing in the later innings because they needed to. This game, in fact, was a literal roller coaster when it came to win probability. Damon, if you would, let's get a look at that graphic from Sarah Langs here. This was the win probability for this game. Boy, things went all over the place. There was this incredible play by Christian Walker that happened in the second inning. That was actually just amazing to see in person. And this play made me start yelling, oh, which you're not really supposed to do in the press box. I just yelled out, oh, like that, because I was in the middle of talking and that sound just came out of me watching Christian Walker do that in that second inning. There were so many moments like that in tonight's game. This one was absolutely incredible, but there were a lot of mistakes made on both sides. But in this case, in tonight's game, unlike last night's extra innings loss by the Diamondbacks to the Cubs were the ones making the mistakes in this game. And yes, I saw some comments in there about the bullpen. The bullpen was absolutely terrible tonight, but we are going to give flowers to one guy who deserves it, one guy who has struggled, and that's Miguel Castro. Miguel Castro got the team through this game. I mean, 2 1/3 innings pitched. He allowed one hit, no run, struck out three. So, oh my God.
We kind of looked away and then we looked back and we were like, is Miguel Castro
still in the game?
Is he shoving
right
now? He's
still in the game and he's shoving.
And he's just getting out after out. That was pretty impressive.
It really was impressive.
But he does this all the time.
Well, and I mean, honestly, what it comes down to with some of the guys is it tends to be when the team is behind. They seem to shove, right? When the game is no longer on the line, the pressure is no longer there, they shoved. But when the game was on the line, couple of members of the bullpen absolutely did not shove. Three earned runs allowed by both Luis Frias and Kyle Nelson to not only allow the Cubs to get back into this game after the Diamondbacks had the lead, but for them to take the lead. And that was just kind of rough to watch. This bullpen right now, it seems like at times you don't know who you can rely on. You get 1 2/3 innings pitched by Scott McGuff tonight of hitless, scoreless baseball with two strikeouts. And then you have the other guys. You have Luis Frias that didn't record an out.
You have Kyle Nelson that got two-thirds of an innings. But as Bose Whitbeck, I hope I'm not butchering that. Jesse's better with names than I am, and he's not here right now. But, yeah, Cubs bullpen was worse than ours. In fact, things got really bad there for this team. And, I mean, a lot of it, honestly, the bullpen didn't get charged with a lot of runs because it was just a lot of mistakes made there by the Cubs, especially in that fifth inning. The Cubs, the bottom of the fifth, definitely made things look better than, you know, for the Diamondbacks than we saw, especially last night when it comes to mistakes giving up the game. But this one went all over the place. When we talk about five lead changes, the Diamondbacks jumped out to a lead early in the first inning. They put up three more in the second after the Cubs tied it. So the Diamondbacks continue to do the thing that they're able to do in the first six innings. Tonight, they put up eight runs in the first six innings. I think that brings their total now, if I'm not mistaken, up to like 87 total runs in 1 through 6, or 86. They've been scoring a lot early, and they've been doing it in bunches. Tonight, though, what was encouraging is the Diamondbacks were able to score those late runs, and they scored them in all of the innings. They didn't just score it in one. They scored in
amazing
the 7th,
how that
8th,
leads
9th,
to wins.
And 10th. Yes, it's amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
You score all throughout a game and you sustain it, and all of a sudden you start winning baseball games.
That 10th inning, I mean, that 10th inning defense to keep the Cubs off the board was pretty impressive. Damon said it while we were watching the game, but it's just so different to have Gino there. And Evan Longoria probably would have made the same heads-up play last year, but just to have a guy there at third base that was able to know the right, you know, right play to make there, and to just handle it confidently. And the way that this team was able to keep the Cubs off the board there was very, very impressive, honestly. I mean, there's, you could say so much about the way this team, this game went. Yes, I think somebody said in regards to the grand slam by the Cubs, I felt like it was Jover at that point. Like, this game had so many moments. The Cubs scored six runs in the seventh inning to take a fairly commanding lead at that point. I think they were up 11-8, I believe. This game was all over the place, man. And I mean, I don't know if this was the most runs scored. I imagine this is the most runs scored in a Diamondbacks game this year, though. And this is just possibly one of those situations where it tips the scale a little bit in the Diamondbacks' favor. The Diamondbacks really needed a win tonight. I felt like losing the series to the Cubs and going down 0-2 in the first two games of this three-game series was just kind of disastrous considering what's ahead. They have a four-game series coming up with the San Francisco Giants that they can't really limp into. That's a really important series, and I think that this, you know, not only winning this game, but now potentially winning this series and winning their third series in a row can just really be a huge difference, just a huge confidence boost for this team. Even regardless of the outcome of tomorrow's game, I think winning an extra innings game, winning late like they did, it proves to them, at least reminds them that they are able to do it. I think we all kind of lacked confidence in them being able to score runs, but that might have bled into them kind of lacking confidence there as well. Before the game, Gabriel Moreno was scratched due to right thumb contusion per Torrey. He told us that he was currently day to day, but then Gabby ended up making an appearance, ended up coming into the game in the 10th inning to catch due to Torrey pinch hitting Jace Peterson for Tucker Barnhart. You may ask, like Damon did 27 times, why? Why are you doing that? Why are you bringing Gabby in to catch if you're not going to bring him in to hit? I think it's just due to that right thumb contusion. Like, they obviously, Jace Peterson isn't a great option there. The man is hitting 50. Not 150, not 250, 50. But you just had to bring somebody in there to try to get another look there, try to get someone on base. Luckily, it all ended up working out. They were able to bring Gabby in to catch. But he is still probably going to miss some time.
I feel like oftentimes you see people sit out defense while they hit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
a DH.
Yeah, yeah.
So you
well,
would
and
think
he got
that
it from the he got it from getting hit in the hand, right? So
I would just think that he, if he was good enough to be able to field, that he would be able to hit as well, especially in favor of Jace Peterson.
Yeah,
if he's coming in the game.
Well, I mean, losing Moreno, again, we don't know if he's going to be day to day again, you know, starting tomorrow. But it'd be Moreno, Perdomo, Thomas, Sewald, Erod, all missing due to injury right now. But again, Moreno came in. That's encouraging, but I'm sure they still want to give him some time off. It's going to be tough there for Tucker Barnhart to have to now catch, I think, tomorrow as well. I'm not sure if Gabby Moreno was going to be available tomorrow, but yeah, with it being a getaway game tomorrow, it's going to be interesting to see. The man of the hour, though, the man of the hour is obviously Ketel Marte. Ketel Marte tonight was incredible, and his home run, his heroic home run there that I felt like we pushed, we were blowing at it to go over the wall, and it just made it. And if any of you at home were blowing to get it to go, you were a part of it. You helped get that home run and make that home run happen. You might be, you might get a part of his King Snake tonight, but Ketel Marte is absolutely our King Snake for this game. Ketel went 4 for 6 with one home run and that very, very important home run, and 3 runs scored. And Ketel, of course, you know, he continues to do it for this team. He's hitting .301 with an .895 OPS. Okay. And I mean, the Diamondbacks have a couple of guys that are hitting really well. Like, we got to give credit where credit's due to Jock Peterson. Jock Peterson had his home run. He's hitting .323 with a .949 OPS. The man is just an on-base machine. He is an on-base machine, and he continues to get on base no matter.
It's like you either throw him something to hit and he hits it, or you walk him. There's no in between. Yeah. Like, it's people are afraid of Jock Peterson right now. It's crazy.
1 for 2, 3 runs score, 2 RBI for Jock Peterson. Randall Grichuk, the other side of our DH situation, got the game winning hit there at the end of the game. 1 for 1 with that RBI. And I think everything worked out for the Diamondbacks tonight. Kevin Ginkle gets the win, and Ginkle was able to, of course, get the job done there late in the inning, unlike last night. And this was different vibes, different feeling from last night. I feel like they had a chance to kind of be placed right back in the same situation and rectify it, and they did. We saw some great play all over the place. Blaze Alexander, another guy that deserves his flowers tonight, 2 for 5. With 3 RBI himself, you might have
big
cringed.
Big two-out knock.
You might have cringed a couple of times when some of those balls came over to him, but he did a great job at handling them. Boaz is asking, does Jock even have a strikeout yet? I don't believe he does. I'll look into that. But
looking at his stats right now, he does not.
He has nine walks,
0 strikeouts, and a .465 on base percentage.
Give it to me.
And a .484 slugging percentage. Give it to me. Does a 950 OPS, do you like that?
That's good, right?
Is that good to
that's
you?
That's good, yeah. Ketel Marte walked a couple of times tonight, Corbin Carroll. Ketel Marte didn't walk. He got hits, but Corbin Carroll walked a couple of times. He was 1 for 4 with a run scored. I mean, there was just contributions all over the place tonight, and it was really good to see. I think that, you know, of course, the Cubs are a good team, and the Diamondbacks still have a lot of areas to address. They have a lot of areas of concern. There was some encouraging news today about Paul Sewald in regards to his progression. Seems like he's coming along very quickly. He did throw a bullpen. They don't know if his next step is to throw another bullpen, to throw live BP, or if they're going to get him to Reno to start those rehab assignments. But it sounds like Paul Sewald is very close to returning to the team. I think my only concern is that it might be too soon. Based on what we knew about it being a grade 2 oblique strain, it felt like he was going to miss more time than this. Everything that we've heard about him, it sounds like he's, you know, ahead of schedule. And Torrey today kind of said, like, it's something that they have to refrain from doing when it comes to, you know, trying to get these athletes back when they need them back so quickly. You know, the athlete wants to come back. The team wants them back. So that's why you have to leave it in the hands of a third party and in the medical professionals involved with the team so that they make the right call when it comes to how soon these guys come back. But
I don't think that this is the type of organization that would rush people back, though. Like, I don't think Torrey's the type of manager that would want people rushed back.
I feel like there might be some regrets there already with Eduardo Rodriguez based on the fact that he kind of had to be shut back down. And so
I think that's more of a factor of them being extra careful. In my opinion,
it is, but it's also a factor of, you know, the athlete once again saying they feel great. And then at least E-Rod stepped up and vocalized when he felt that strain again. So, you know, it's good that they're actually communicating this with the staff and letting the team know. They have to do that because, you know, again, the idea here is that these injuries can get much worse if you continue to aggravate them. And the time missed could be very minimal compared to, you know, again, if Paul Sewald comes back and re-aggravates, you know, an oblique strain like that, we could, you know, we could see him miss time. So I don't want that to happen. But it is also very encouraging that he's going to come back soon. And yeah, I think that once he does, we could see a lot of, I guess, stability returned to this line, to the bullpen, which right now is not, has no stability. I mean, tonight McGuff and Castro were your best pitchers out of the bullpen. Like, that's crazy to say, right? Like, but again, it's,
you don't know, we don't know who to trust at this point.
You don't know who to
trust.
You're
looking around and
it's like Among Us. We're playing a game of Among Us, yeah, like, right? Who's gonna blow it tonight? 100%. Is it gonna be red? Is it gonna be blue?
Who's the imposter tonight?
Who's the imposter tonight?
It really could be anybody.
who's not a real relief pitcher in Major League Baseball, but just for tonight. Who's gonna blow it just for tonight, man? Oh man, but this was an exciting game, and obviously it's exciting because the Diamondbacks came out on top. So let's fucking go. I saw you earlier say I need a new rattle, so I think your involvement with the team shop, you could get me one of those. Let's make that happen. Of course, I do also have to address another thing, considering that I'm live here in studio. First, I know some people didn't know if I was going to be here tonight due to the situation with my mom. I just wanted to thank everybody for their kind words in regards to that. It's always scary when you have a parent in the hospital, and luckily it sounds like she's doing better. She's still not out of the woods, but hopefully my mom will kick out at two. And I appreciate everything nice everybody said. What I don't appreciate, though, is Tori Lavallo thinking that I do this show out of my garage. I felt like that was a level of disrespect that I wasn't expecting to hear from the skipper today. I also didn't think I was going to get badgered by him just for sitting next to Jesse Friedman like I always do. But we do have video footage of this particular badgering. Damon, if you don't mind, would you show Tori questioning where I do my work and if this is a real job that I do?
Right next to each other. You guys can't help it.
Yeah, we're just...
Where do you do your podcast? In somebody's garage?
In somebody's garage. No, in an office. A couple blocks away. I promise. It's not a basement. It's not a garage.
We're a little more legitimate.
They actually have an office studio. Okay, so it's an office studio.
Yeah.
You go to work there.
We do.
Okay. Is it in Phoenix?
It's two blocks away from here.
Nice. So do you go to work there every morning? Like, is that where you go to work? And
that's what Saul makes me do, yes.
Yeah.
He makes me come in.
That's sick.
That's great.
You go there every day, too?
I come here a lot of the times without even bothering to go there. So, depends on the day.
Okay. Yeah. And then who determines the schedule? Like, who's with who?
I mean, I pretend like I do, and then he just really then tells me what days we actually need to do it.
He starts, and then I tell him the mistakes he made.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Yeah. It's like me and Jeff Bannister. You need somebody like that.
Yeah.
You got to count on him to tell you the right way, too.
We compliment each other.
Mistakes you make?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's on it.
Every single day.
It's great. But it's good. It's what he's supposed to do. Like, the game's flying by me sometimes, and I'll be like, I gotta get 20 things in a row, and sometimes I miss 18. He's like, don't forget about this when we talk about this. I'm like, yep, thank you.
I was just minding my business. I was just doing my job. I didn't expect to get roasted by Tori like that. I do like the comparison, though, of me and Jesse being like Tori and Jeff Bannister, only because I'm Tori in that scenario, and I am okay with being Tori. Tori is one of the best human beings on the planet, so if I have to be compared to being Tori in any kind of metaphor, I will take it. But shout out to Tori for always keeping us honest. He notices everything. He notices everything.
Getting compared, you and Jesse getting compared to Tori and Jeff Bannister is pretty solid.
It's pretty solid.
Like, you can't hate that.
No, I love that, actually.
That's a duo that took us to the, you know, National League pennant last
year. Right, yeah. But it's also that man took a team to the World Series, and now here he is questioning if I do this show out of my mom's basement, basically. Like, that's kind of the vibe I was getting there from him. And I understand, you know, I know a lot of you people watching this show definitely question what the hell I'm doing here and if this is a real job. I get it. I appreciate it. I'm there for it. But it is. I assure you, it actually is a real job. I also want to go ahead and Do we want to do the thing? Do we want to take a number away? Let's go ahead and throw the.
This has been way too long.
Yeah, let's.
We should have led the show with this.
I'm sorry. There he is, Derek Purple Air Tracker. We're down to 7 more wins. The Diamondbacks need 7 more wins in the month of April to get me to absolutely ruin my scalp once again. If Elise is watching, please send that Nutrafol. I think I should start taking it ahead of time because I don't know. I was fairly confident the way that things were going that they were going to blow this game. I mean, let's be honest. All of you were too. But let's say the Diamondbacks did it. And I think that that's the most impressive thing tonight is the fact that the team tacked on runs. They did all the things that they had been weak at this year, right? They were able to tack on runs in innings 7 through 9. They were able to score in extra innings. They were able to keep the other team from scoring for once in extra innings. And they did that last night, I know, for one. But, I mean, tonight was better. But, of course, they, you know, again, it's the fact that they weren't just scoring in bunches like they've kind of done all season long.
They scored big runs for the first time in a while.
Big runs.
Because usually they...
7, 8, 9,
a lot
10.
Of times, like, they're packing on runs that are kind of meaningless.
Red Mage is right. I was convinced they lost 3 times as well, Red Mage.
The second that a team claws back, then they can't score ever again.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see a team claw back and then them able to retake the lead.
Right, right. To fight back and have that back and forth. Not just go out to a lead, have the team come back, and then have them fold like a house of cards, right?
Yeah.
Piece of Yoshi might be responsible for this win because he did comment that Nelson was sabotaging the team just to save my hair. And they, you know, again... They were like, Cattell's like, we're not doing that. But yes, I do love what they were able to do tonight. And of course, we do thank all of you guys for being here in the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, do so right now. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss when any of our shows go live. Of course, if you're listening on the audio podcasting side, you can't see it. But Jesse Jr. right now, he's sending his love and he would love you to leave us a 5-star review. Make sure you're subscribed on the audio podcast as well. Make sure to go ahead and leave us a like too. Even though he didn't get a lot of playing time, Gabby loves when you leave us a like. He's here to tell you to drop a like. And we appreciate you guys for being here. Also appreciate you guys for downloading the BetMGM Sportsbook app. If you have, if you haven't done so, do so now. Check out, of course, the wonderful PHNX Bets show to get all of the wonderful advice. Maybe listen to Damon, maybe not. I don't know. It's kind of iffy at times.
Oh, I got close tonight. I told you earlier I was going to take either a Corbin Carroll anytime home run or a Jock Peterson one. And I settled on Corbin being due.
Yeah.
And then Jock hit a no doubter.
Yeah. Yeah. You were back and forth there, but of course,
sick. We were close though.
We were close. And you can get even closer with the BetMGM Sportsbook app. Of course, if you sign up now and deposit at least $10 in your BetMGM Sportsbook account, use our code of PHNX. You can place your first wager and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If the bet loses, if the bet does lose, your bonus bets will be available once your initial wager is settled. Just like my hair. Once that wager is settled, my hair will be purple. I'm a man of my word. Or not. Maybe not. Maybe they blow it. We'll see. But you could sign up for BetMGM and use bonus code PHNX. Place your first bet through the Sportsbook mobile app for at least $10. You will receive $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. That is up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. Check out the show notes for full details. And now listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Bonus bets expire in 7 days. One new customer offer only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY, 467-369, New York. Call 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts. 21 plus only. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa. 1-800-981-0023, Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in New York, Nevada, North Carolina, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. Where am I? There I am. Hey. All right. Well, of course, you know what won't leave you out in the dark is Gila River Resorts and Casinos. At Gila River Resorts and Casinos, no one does it better. And since Jesse isn't here, I can make Damon commit to going on a boys trip with me. A little staycation.
I'm warming up a little bit.
Yeah.
I was there today checking out the lay of the land for our draft party
for the PHNX Cardinals draft party
The first round of the NFL draft. Going to be unbelievable. We already sold out. So sorry if you wanted to go, Derek. I don't know if we have a spot for you or not. But
doing,
I was there
he's
and
doing the thing again.
And I don't know. I was hyped up. Like it's just the smell of the place, the tables,
oh,
the,
yeah.
the lights.
It's like, hard. We had a meeting, a work meeting there.
This was my second work meeting.
Like, I was supposed to concentrate on work. When
Shane and I were like, should we get a couple hands in?
There's over 800 slot machines. There's, you know, 15 blackjack tables. There is Arizona's largest casino sports book. And I'm supposed to listen to Saul talk about our numbers? Forget that. The dining ranges from upscale to approachable, so there's all sorts of options no matter what time of day you go. And you can head to Gila River Resorts and Casinos and let them show you what Next Level is all about. Do not miss out on the ability to sit poolside with a frosty beverage in your hand. You do you at Gila River Resorts and Casinos. Visit play@gila.com for more details. Well, I do know that Jesse Friedman is going to be joining the show, but I also know that it is taking him quite a while to get through. Yes, Elise, Damon never has a spot for me, and I'm going to be honest, this bit's growing old. I'm getting tired of it. I don't like it one bit. But we do have more from the clubhouse before Jesse does get here. We have Cattell. Do you have the Cattell video? Not yet? Okay, we'll have a Cattell video here on the homer at bat, and if he thought it was actually gone or if he thought it was going to stay at the yard. We have Grichik on what it was like watching this game and then getting that hit that he got. But of course, before we get to all of that, we do have the count presented by Desert Financial Credit Union. Let's take a look at these numbers from today's game because they are wild. The Arizona Diamondbacks score 12 runs to the Cubs 11. The Cubs out hit the Diamondbacks 14-12. However, the Diamondbacks out homer the Cubs 3-1. Of course, the runners in scoring position here, that's kind of wild. 7-18 for the Cubs. Meanwhile, the Diamondbacks were 1-12 until that game-winning hit by Randall Grichik. And this game was so close that the two errors there scored by the Cubs ended up being very, very big in this game. And of course, that Hap home run, that big grand slam was the only home run the Cubs hit, but it was a very loud one. Very loud one. A lot of runs scored there. 2-13 though. 2-13. Let me take a look. I'll double check. Someone was saying that. Nope. They ended the game 2-13. That game again. That game winning hit was the only other hit that they got with a runner in scoring position with the ghost runner on. And I mean, again, there were a lot of crucial moments in this game. You could say that the Cattell Marte home run was the biggest hit of the game, but there were a lot of other hits that got them there as well. A lot of other mistakes made by the Cubs. So I don't know. This was one of those games that it kind of felt, if I'm being honest, like the Diamondbacks maybe shouldn't have won. Maybe it didn't feel like they were going to win at times, and rightfully so. Even when they did get back in it, a lot of it was due to Cubs' self-inflicted errors, but the Diamondbacks took advantage of another team's mistakes for once instead of it happening to the Diamondbacks, and now here we are where, here we sit at 500. And I don't know, do we have the Mount 500? Is Cattell ready? Can we send Cattell up? Oh, he's right there. I see him. He's always ready. Cattell stays ready when it comes to going up Mount 500. But yeah, that's right. We have a few technical errors on our side. But I will say that the Diamondbacks obviously have a chance here tomorrow to steal, this series a little bit. Are you ready? All right, now he's ready. Cattell, go get. Never fails to delight me. It never fails to delight me. I look forward to playing that when we could start talking about them having more of a winning record. But for now, I think the Diamondbacks have to be pretty satisfied with treading water, considering the number of injuries they have, especially considering if Gabriel Moreno misses any additional time due to this injury. Gabby is a huge, huge part of this team. And, I just don't know. They don't really have a lot of options at catcher. I know that I've heard some good things about Adrian Del Castillo, so maybe, they'll consider that. It's also going to be interesting because we really haven't talked about it, but Tommy Henry was not good in this game. He went 4 1/3 innings pitch. He allowed 9 hits on 5 earned runs. He allowed 1 walk and 3 strikeouts. He just was not effective tonight. But when we talk about that fifth inning, it was just extra base hit after extra base hit after extra base hit. I mean, there wasn't much Henry could do to be effective against Cubs hitters. they were just hitting the ball hard all over the park. It will be interesting to see if Tommy Henry stays on the big league club or if they possibly send him down to Reno. At this point, due to Jordan Montgomery joining the club on Friday, we know that they're going to need to clear a spot for him, not only on the roster, but in the starting rotation. And in the meantime, the Diamondbacks could potentially look to maybe a bullpen arm. Justin Martinez has been pitching pretty well for the Reno Aces. So the Diamondbacks could look to some temporary bullpen relief in the meantime and possibly send Tommy Henry down as early as tomorrow. I don't know. It's a getaway game, so I don't know if they'll do that. But I wouldn't be surprised to see that move made very soon at this point. I mean, they have to start looking ahead, but we do have video. Do we have the video of Cattell now? All right, let's hear from Cattell about his home run.
El primer picheo se lo agarré y le vi el corel, se lo vi muy bien. Y como fue atrás, yo dije, va a tirar corel de nuevo. Me tiró el corel donde yo le pego bien a la bola y gracias a Dios pude dar home run.
First pitch he took and he executed the pitch, it was cutter, and in his thought process, he assumed that he was going to repeat it. He did, and he executed it.
Did you think it was gone off the bat?
Desde que le diste, sentiste que se había ido. No.
fue yo sentí que le di bien, pero sabes, fue muy bajito, no fue una buena dirección para jonrón, pero gracias a Dios tengo fuerza.
Yeah, it was a low line drive, you know. He knew he hit it well, but it was low, so he didn't assume that it was going to be gone.
¿Quién es más fuerte? ¿Cattell es más fuerte? Yeah, he said no. He said no, he didn't think that ball was gone. None of us thought that ball was gone. You know who thought that ball was gone? Damon Dog. Damon Dog thought it was gone.
I actually, like, I was the like, right when he hit it, I was like, oh my God, sneak out. Like, just stay up a little bit. Stay up.
I thought it was crazy. It looked like, I mean, I was like, it's a gapper. It's going to get down.
Just scrape the wall.
Yeah, just scrape the wall. It was beautiful. Another thing that we have to talk about real briefly, let's be honest. What a missed opportunity that it was Bark in the Park night and Damon Dog wasn't there. That's like crazy. What a terrible like product integration. I don't know. I feel like there was a vibe there that we missed, an absolute vibe that we missed. But speaking of vibes,
it did kind of feel like it was my day. Like,
it did.
Like, why are the D-backs not like promoting me on that day? Right. Like, I should be at the forefront of the promotion graphic, like me next to like a Rottweiler next to like a Chihuahua.
You should have been like some sort of like marshal of the dog parade, because they had a dog parade, which I went down and was a part of, and it was delightful once again. But yeah, you should have been like the grand marshal,
or at least
of
like
the dog
you
parade.
And Jesse should have just treated me to a game, taking your dog to the game.
I definitely would have brought Cosmo to the game. There were so many French bulldogs.
Cosmo over Damon Dog.
Oh, you meant crazy. My dog, like Damon Dog. Ah, I don't know. That's like, I got a lot of dogs. Ryan's my dog. Jesse's my dog. And speaking of Jesse, here is my dog, Jesse. Jesse, he's a fellow member of Damon's Dogs. Bark, bark, Jesse. Welcome in. What a win. What an insane game that we just witnessed.
This was a pretty insane baseball game.
What is going on with your mic? Your mic is very quiet. You have the wrong mic.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go.
Now you should be able to hear me.
Yeah,
sorry, guys.
Yeah, that was it was your fault, Damon.
That was
it was
Damon's
your fault.
Fault this time.
I think it was my fault, but anyway, regardless of that, yeah, what a game, what a fun game to watch, right, Derek? Yeah. I'm sure you were just, I'm sure that your emotions stayed perfectly level throughout this entire baseball game.
Because, I was a good boy. I did not throw a single thing at the TV, not one time, and I behaved myself. I did have a lot of nice things to say about Miguel Castro, because I felt like in all of this, you know, in the good and the bad, Tommy Henry was not very good tonight. Some of the hitters were very good. Cattell Marte, excellent, going 4-for-6. But like kind of lost in the shuffle was how Miguel Castro got this team through 2 1/3 innings with just giving up one hit and striking out. I think he struck out two.
Torrey Lovello said it after the game. I mean, he ran through all of the, you know, some of the things that were good today for the D-backs, like Ketel Marte hitting a game tying home run with two outs in the ninth inning on a pitch that was like basically at the knees. That was pretty wild. And of course, Randall Grichuk coming through in the 10th inning. But Torrey Lovello was pretty clear after the game that the reason the Diamondbacks won today was because of Miguel Castro. Two and a third innings, as you said. Yeah, I think it was a couple of strikeouts, only 28 pitches. He was able to give the Diamondbacks some length because he was so efficient when he was in this game. And yeah, I mean, let's be real here. Like, Miguel Castro hasn't pitched very well up to this point in the season. And I don't think people necessarily were expecting us to call him the player of the game anytime soon necessarily, but he came through in a really, really big way for the Diamondbacks. And it wasn't just him. It was also Scott McGuff. Who walked into a really difficult spot after Tommy Henry left this game, was able to get out of that inning, gave the Diamondbacks another inning. On top of that, he went an inning and two-thirds scoreless. The guys in the middle there, Luis Frias and Kyle Nelson, not so great from them. But on the whole, Derek, the Diamondbacks did enough to win this baseball game, and that's something we haven't been able to say in a lot of these close games throughout the year, right? Yeah. I think coming into today, they were 3-8 in games decided by three runs or less. It sure looked like this was trending toward a 3-9 after what happened in the seventh inning with the Cubs scoring all those runs. But the Diamondbacks found a way in the end. And what a wild baseball game this was.
I think the thing I was most impressed about was, and I expressed this earlier, their ability to score those runs, even though they had to manufacture some of them, and even in some situations where they probably should have scored more in those late innings, they were able to put up a run in the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, and the tenth. And again, it's kind of goes against, you know, the story so far this season of them scoring in bunches and not being able to score late in games.
Yeah, I mean, the Diamondbacks didn't necessarily like knock the cover off the ball in the last few innings. I mean, I think they still only had, I want to say, two hits, maybe three hits in the final four innings of this game, 7-10. But it was enough, right? Yeah. I think you could still pinpoint a lot of moments where they should have scored more runs. In the sixth inning, they had a couple of base runners on, nobody out. In the seventh inning, they did get one back, but they still had a runner at second with nobody out after that Blaze Alexander doubled, and they were not able to get another run across there. They had the bases loaded with nobody out in the eighth inning, and they were only able to get one run there as well. So they left a lot of base runners out there. They were 2-13 with runners in scoring position, I believe, which is not great. But again, they did enough to win this baseball game, and that's something that the Diamondbacks have really, really struggled to do in these, you know, these kind of 50-50 games where it feels like it could go either way.
There's a few comments in the chat about, you know, of course, not being convinced on Castro. And I don't think anybody should be convinced on Castro just because of one good night. But what I am saying is it has to be frustrating for Torrey Lovello that he can get nights like this out of Scott McGuff and Miguel Castro, but then can't get it consistently, or at least, you know, like when they do have their rough nights, have them be not as bad as, you know, as some of their outings are, how critical they end up being, right? Like tonight we had Kyle Nelson and Luis Frias both be fairly ineffective, both allowing three earned run each. And it's almost like you don't know who, you know, we were joking about it, but you just don't know who in the bullpen is going to be good and who's going to be bad. You know, you got Ryan Thompson, you know, you got Kevin Ginkle, kind of. But outside of that, it feels fairly inconsistent as to who Torrey can rely on.
Yeah, there's still a lot of questions with this bullpen moving forward. I don't think Miguel Castro and Scott McGuff being good today, and then, you know, Kyle Nelson, Luis Frias struggling, I don't necessarily view this as a day where the Diamondbacks bullpen was fixed. On that note, I will say right now, Torrey Lovello did tell us after the game that there are roster moves in store here. I don't know if it's multiple roster moves. I think it is possible that Tommy Henry is just sent down immediately after this game. If the Diamondbacks don't plan to keep him in the starting rotation moving forward, it would sort of make sense to go that route, because the D-backs are pretty short on bullpen arms at this point with, you know, back-to-back extra inning games. That, you know, bullpen has been pretty taxed here over the last several days overall. So yeah, I think that's one possible move. And then I wouldn't be surprised if there was another move on top of that. So we'll see exactly what that looks like. But yeah, the Diamondbacks bullpen, there's still a lot of questions there. I mean, you still saw that what has been a weakness for this team, especially in the higher leverage situations. It was overall a weakness today as well. But the Diamondbacks were, once again, they were able to do enough to come out on top.
And the big hit came from Randall Grichuk, who got to watch a lot of this game from the bench and then come in and get the big hit. This is what Grichuk had to say after the game about getting that big hit.
It was a lot of ups and downs. You know, thought we had it in the bag, then kind of didn't look good, and then got back in there. And roller coaster of emotions for everyone. But, you know, it's good to be able to come in and help the team win.
After being on the wrong side of a roller coaster last night, how nice was it to be on the other side tonight?
Oh, very nice. That would be tough to take two of those back to back. You know, now 1-1 and have a chance to win a series tomorrow is huge.
What's kind of your mindset going up in that?
You know, be aggressive, find a pitcher, pull out over the plate, try to put a good swing on it. You know I have a chance to drive the ball in the gap, drive the ball over the fence to get the run in. And, lefty-righty matchup there, you know, favors me. If it was a righty, you know, approach might be a little different. But at that point, I'm trying to drive the ball.
And I don't know. Where's Jesse? You want to bring him in? There he is.
Sorry, I was feeling like Jesse out of the podcast for some reason.
Man, I mean,
well, I have my actual nice microphone now, so it was for a worthy cause.
There you go. you did the thing. Obviously, like, it's an impressive feat to be able to come into a game like this and be able to get that big hit after sitting on the bench the whole time. Like, that's something that, you know, the Diamondbacks don't really usually have options like that late in the game. And that's what having this two-headed monster for DH of Grichuk and Jock Peterson can do for you.
I mean, Randall Grichuk better get used to it, right? I mean, this is going to be the norm a lot of days throughout the season, where one of these two guys is going to be in the starting lineup and the other one, in all likelihood, is going to get a pinch hit opportunity late in the game. Heck, you might get an even more important at bat if you're coming off the bench than if you're starting one of these games. Obviously, Jock Peterson as a starter did have a very big impact on today's game, drawing several walks as he's done well this year, also hitting his first home run of the season as well. But yeah, Randall Grichuk told us that he was in the batting cages three times preparing for at various moments throughout this game where he could potentially have been brought in as a pinch hitter. So that's the other thing, is you don't really know in advance when that moment is going to come. I wondered way back in the fifth inning when it was bases loaded, one out, and Jock Peterson came up with a lefty on the mound, if Torrey Lovello would go to Grichuk then. He wound up not going to Grichuk, which I think was a smart move, given that, you know, that's when the Cubs started throwing like wild pitches and passed balls. You know, it was wild pitch and pass ball craziness there in the fifth inning. D-backs wound up being just fine in that inning with the way that things turned out. But yeah, Grichuk has a tough role coming off the bench on a day, you know, like this. And he came through when the Diamondbacks needed it most.
Ryan's saying things that, like, he's brave enough to say it. If we could put Ryan's comment up on the screen there, Ryan said, just saying, but what a handsome fella in regards to Randall Grichuk. And I just wanted to address how devastatingly handsome he is. He's like the sun, Jesse. You know, we just had the eclipse. It's like, it's hard to look at him because he's so handsome. Like, I can't stare directly at him. I feel like I should use one of those pinhole things to look at his shadow and interview him that way, or maybe like some special glasses. But
do we have him go under consideration for the ISS?
I mean, it's crazy that you haven't even thought to consider him
We have to send him over to the judge,
sex symbol
to the dictator of the international. I mean, sex symbol
I'll tell you this much: the looks are there, but to get a walk-off hit, that only adds to the sex appeal. The sex appeal goes through the roof.
We'll send you a
walk-off hit.
I'm the secretary, so I'll send to the dictator.
You do that. We'll, you send it. Say, tell the dictator I miss him, and if he adds him, maybe we'll get him one of those Alec Thomas t-shirts, which, by the way, Sierra Santos gets one sent to her, but, like,
yeah,
you know, we don't get them for the whole office. I think we need to have a talk about that, Jesse. We need to have a talk. Of course, Jesse, make sure to stop by Circle K. I know you're low on gas in your sick RAV4. You can stop by Circle K right here. Gas prices are shockingly cheap at Circle K with how expensive gas prices are some places here in the Valley. But if you join the Inner Circle for free right now by downloading the Circle K app today, you can save 25 cents off per gallon on your first five fill-ups and then save 3 cents off per gallon every day after that. Terms and conditions apply at participating locations. Visit CircleK.com for details. But if you do, you also have their Easy Pay option. That stacks. That's another 10 cents off. You can get up to 35 cents off on your first five fill-ups if you have that. So make sure to check out Circle K, because not only do you get the cheap gas, but you also get all sorts of wonderful coupons for yourself, for pizza, coffee, ice cold fountain drinks, and so much more in the Inner Circle app. So join the Inner Circle today. Of course, you can get your Arizona Lottery tickets at Circle K as well. Arizona Lottery, all about getting you to go out and check out this beautiful state we live in right now. They have three ways to play their new Arizona Adventure promotion. You can play Arizona Adventure Lottery tickets featuring three iconic landscapes. You can check in at geolocated adventures at 10 destinations across the state, from Flagstaff to Yuma. By visit azadventure.com for more details and directions to those geolocated adventure spots. Or you can enter tickets online, all for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. The Arizona Lottery says proceeds from ticket sales support environmental conservation, among other important initiatives across the state. Arizona Lottery, not just about playing games and winning prizes. It's also about giving back to the state and its communities. Visit azadventure.com for more information on how you can take an adventure for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. Nate Cleveland says, you guys are bad for my sleep. Love you, Nate. Thank you for being here. Big shout out to all of you guys for being here. Of course, if you are not a diehard yet, maybe consider that. Get your diehard membership. Get discounts on our events. We got all sorts of takeovers, including our one coming up on May 4th, where you can join us and you get that Gabby Moreno bobblehead as well. Of course, if you are a diehard, you'll get discounts on all of those events. You get Jesse's, all of Jesse's writing. You get access to our Discord lounge, where I just randomly host a post-series Discord show that I really just talked about how much I love the Coyotes podcast. That's what I spent 25 minutes talking about, how much I love Craig, Petey, and Leah. So it really wasn't a very productive Diamondbacks podcast per se. But if you love the Coyotes, you might have enjoyed what I had to say. So make sure to sign up and become a diehard. That way you don't miss out on all of this wonderful stuff that we got going on. AZ Sports Girl 224 with the very handsome profile picture says, sleep, what sleep? You stole Jesse's line when it comes to that, because this man never sleeps. And he has no days off. No days off. But Jesse, any more from the clubhouse in regards to tonight's big win?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, Torrey Lovello was frustrated, actually. This was about as negative as I've ever seen Torrey Lovello after a win. And granted, it was probably a weird post-game situation for him, because given that roster moves are happening, Torrey Lovello probably had to have a difficult conversation with one, possibly two Diamondbacks players after this one, which is no fun. And I think even if the team plays great, it's hard to go in your office and have those kind of conversations and then jump out in front of the media and all of a sudden be, you know, elated that you just won a crazy baseball game. But at the same time, Torrey seemed to he seemed to think that the Diamondbacks did not do, they made a lot of mistakes, that there were a lot of things that they should have done better in this game. And at first glance, I don't know. I mean, they've made some pretty rough mistakes this year, right? Like on the bases and in the field, and they weren't perfect today, but to me at, you know, I didn't necessarily think of this game as being one where they made all kinds of egregious mistakes as they have in some of the games before this, but that was kind of his demeanor. And
I guess if you think, you know, like Luis Frias had a pitch timer violation before he even stepped on the mound, Lourdes Gurriel and Jake McCarthy both had trouble with liners that landed in the corners.
Man,
a couple of triples in this game. It seems like that's been a trend early in the season as well.
It's like they don't know the dimensions of Chase Field, right? Like, I mean,
yeah,
these are the kind of mistakes you typically see an opposing team make because they are not familiar with the field. Both of these guys have played numerous games at Chase Field. So that's frustrating to watch too, because I felt like Lourdes especially like just was kind of chasing after balls and, you know, not knowing which direction that they were going to go, and looked very lost out there at times.
Yeah, I imagine that was one of the things that he wasn't too happy about. I mean, just situational hitting in general. As I said, 2-for-13 with runners in scoring position is pretty rough. I mean, there are situations where the D-backs probably should have gotten a run across even without necessarily coming through with like a big hit. They just really struggled in some of those situations, maybe could have put this game away earlier than they were able to. Corbin Carroll, I know after a pop-up in foul territory, his body language was maybe not what you'd want there out of a, you know, out of your star level player. It was a saunter back to the dugout. It was a very slow walk, kind of with his head down. I mean, Corbin is frustrated offensively. At least he was at that point. He wound up having a pretty good game when all was said and done.
Right.
But I don't know if that was something that Torrey wasn't too happy about. But yeah, I can tell you his demeanor after the game was pretty negative. Mm-hmm. At least off the top. You know, as we started talking more about Cattell's homer and whatnot, you know, he was certainly happy to talk about those things. But he was also clear that, you know, this was a very difficult game to watch, just sitting in the dugout with all of the ups and downs. I mean, the Diamondbacks were up 4-1, and then they were down 5-4, and then they were up 8-5, and then they were down 11-8, and then they won 12-11. Just an absolutely bonkers baseball game. And Torrey at one point said, "I just wanted to like go home and get some coffee and eat dinner and go to bed." And I think all of us watching in the game, watching this one can kind of relate to that.
Yes. I mean, the man is the most relatable manager in all of baseball. I swear to God, at the end of the day, I just can't help it. But yeah, like that's how you feel. You're almost like emotionally drained. And then you look up and you're like, it's the sixth. I can't be this emotionally drained in the sixth. Like, God damn it. Right. Like, this was a frustrating game. And sometimes when those frustrating things happen, even when things roll your way, you have a hard time, like you said, readjusting your position. You're still pissed off. You're still angry that it went the way it did in some of these innings. You know, the Diamondbacks gave up 6 runs in the 7th inning, 4 runs in the 5th. It's hard to like not be pissed off after that, even if the team starts scoring and getting you back in it in the game. Even when you had a lead after the team comes back in the bottom of the 5th, you still have this feeling like, man, this is this shouldn't have even gotten to this point. And then you give up 6 more runs in the 7th. So like it's a situation where it's hard for you to you know, constantly look at the positives and not ignore the negatives. I imagine he was also, like most of us watching this game, we're pretty concerned they were going to lose, right? Like this felt like it was trending in the direction of what we've seen. This team has not won in extra innings, and they've been flat out terrible in innings 7-9. So I felt like, you know, once we saw the Cubs take that lead, that, you know, and score those 11 runs, that was going to be it. And instead the Diamondbacks came out big, you know, in innings 8-9 there and the 10th. So, I mean, it's encouraging. It's a step in the right direction. But I imagine the bigger problem for Torrey was mostly, like you said, the conversation he had to have before he walked in there. We know how Torrey feels about people. I played the video of him accusing us of doing the show out of a garage, Jesse. But that actually shows a level of love that he has for us that even notices us, let alone has to point out how adorable we are that we sit next to each other every single press conference, right? So, but like he does, he loves and appreciates a lot of people. We know he loves Barry Bloom because he lets that man take over press conferences, but he also loves his players like his own children. So when he has to make these difficult decisions, I almost feel like he has to put on kind of a, you know, a tough demeanor and remind himself that these guys aren't his kids, that these guys are players that aren't performing well, and that when they're sending them down, this isn't necessarily the end of the road, but it's also because of them not performing. It's not just kind of hugs and handshakes and tears. It's, you know, it is a business, and sometimes part of the job is sending people down and letting them know that they need to get themselves right if they want to kind of be back in the lineup.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't envy a lot of things about being a major league manager, to be clear, but yeah, the conversations with guys that you have to send down, I mean, that has to be about the worst part of the job. I can't really imagine what that's like. I do want to talk about the fifth inning real quick, because Please. The Cubs came in the top of the fifth. You know, Tommy Henry's rolling along, four innings, only one run allowed. He's pitching well. And then in the fifth, five out of the six Cubs hitters reach. There's a single, two doubles, two triples. It's just hit after hit after hit after hit. Tommy Henry's knocked out of the game. It turns into a four spot for the Cubs. And then in the bottom of the fifth, the Diamondbacks had a four spot of their own, Derek, but it was quite different. Diamondbacks in the bottom of the fifth, they didn't have a whole bunch of doubles and triples. They didn't actually have an extra base hit at all in the inning. They instead had three walks, three singles. They took advantage of two wild pitches, one pass ball. They had a sacrifice fly. There was a throwing error. There was a stolen base. I mean, that was sort of like the you know, create chaos Diamondbacks coming back from last year, I guess. Although, to be fair, they weren't necessarily creating a lot of that chaos. The Cubs were creating
it on their own.
Yeah, like, I don't know, that throwing error wasn't really forced. I mean, that was Jock Peterson out there, right? Passed ball, obviously, that's not forced. Couple of wild pitches that were just way out of the
zone. Did Jock steal a base?
No.
No, it was a pass ball. Right.
Yeah, it was a pass ball, and then he got to third on a throwing error. Jake McCarthy did steal a base. Corbin Carroll, of course, stole a base today as well. But no, I don't believe Jock Peterson stole a base.
Oh, my God. That would have been, I think that would have been the ultimate injury there. But yeah, Corbin Carroll had two stolen bases. Jake McCarthy had the one. We know that the numbers don't lie. So, of course, here's tonight's edition of Numbers Don't Lie. Jesse, give us your number.
Yeah, today's number is two, and I guess I've sort of already spoiled this one today. This is just the fact, and I do think we should take a moment to appreciate that the Diamondbacks only had two hits with runners in scoring position, and they scored 12 runs.
How?
Like,
how?
How do you do that? That is, I need to do a stat head search and figure out like how many times that's been done before, because that feels like a lot of runs to be scoring when you actually were, you know, were really, really brutal at the plate in some of those big situations. But a lot of that was that fifth inning that I was just talking about, where you got guys scoring on wild pitches, you had a sacrifice fly. I think there were a couple of those. So yeah, the Diamondbacks didn't necessarily get all of the big hits that they might have wanted, but they did enough to win the baseball game, Derek. And, you know, given the start that they've had, you will certainly take that.
The Diamondbacks haven't had a lot of things go their way, right? I mean, they've had some pretty thorough victories against the Rockies pretty much, but, you know, everything else has kind of been, you know, them earning it, but not really getting the breaks going their way. Tonight is one of the first times I felt this season like they didn't have, or they had things kind of go their way, especially when we talk about that fifth inning. But they can use a little bit more luck, and they do have Paul Sewald, like I was talking about earlier, possibly returning much sooner than we thought he was going to. So we will keep ourselves posted on that. But in the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. Of course, the people's producer, Damon, is at Damon Dog. That's DAWG. We are Damon's dogs. Bark, bark.
Bark, bark.
Of course, again, Jesse, I talked about how what a missed opportunity for us to not have this man at the ballpark tonight on Bark in the Park night, because he could have made all the dogs his dogs. We could have grown Damon's dogs. By like
it's 500. A big missed
tonight.
Opportunity.
Huge missed opportunity. We got to get our stuff together. But anyway, of course, our show is at @PHNX_DBacks, but all roads do lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys so much for stopping by. We appreciate your time. We will see you tomorrow. We'll have another post-game show, post-series show, after the finale of this game against the Cubs. I think that game, tomorrow's game starts at 12:40, I believe, or is it earlier? I saw some.
Yeah, yeah.
12:40. Okay.
12:40.
So we'll be doing some post-series stuff. Make sure to stop by. But in the meantime, you guys have yourself some wonderful night. Get yourself some sleep. We got another baseball game tomorrow afternoon. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you actually win a game in extra innings. Let's go!